Lifeway Leadership Podcast Network.
You're listening to the newchurches.com Q&A podcast. New Churches is an online hub for the mission of church multiplication. Here you'll find the resources and training that you need to get started, as well as a community of church planting and multi-site experts to help you thrive. My name is Daniel Lim, and I'm here with Ed Stetzer.
Hey, didn't you like make changes to the intro? Because I didn't hear the change in the intro. Because that guy, I gave a guy one of my mission group classes. Yeah. What did I give him? I forget.
But
I don't remember. That didn't seem like the change was in there.
No, we're not using his. You're just out of your incredible generosity gave him that course, and that's I commend you for
strategic
that
strategic leadership. I think we might have got What Now. We have this new course called What Now, which is dealing with cultural issues leading through culturally turbulent times. But wow, I'm a little disappointed that I gave away a course and you're not making any changes to this.
No, you're the better man than I am. I can't change our podcast into a wrestling themed.
Are you
podcast.
Ready to talk about church planting?
No, not at all. And you know, I mean, our music is stomping.
Dude, church planters are literally about change and innovation, and you have not changed and innovated this thing since we started. Hey, 508 million copies.
Do you ever watch WWF?
Of course, I watch WWF.
Who is your guy? Who did you like?
Hulk Hogan. Yeah, I mean, it was 100 years ago. I don't know. But it was Andre the Giant was probably the last time I watched.
Andre the Giant, yes.
That tells you how.
That guy. Oh, you know, him and Hulk Hogan, they're like, just their spandex that they rip.
Wow.
Oh, my goodness.
Well, actually, so I use this as an example. I'm trying to remember the context. But at Moody Church, I use an example, a Hulk Hogan, Andre the Giant example. At Moody Church, and it was funny. I try to remember who got mad at me, but somebody got mad at me. But it was sort of this. It fit the illustration so perfectly. Was it WrestleMania like 2 or something like that? And I remember what it was. So I was trying to illustrate that, you know, suffering. If you know the end result of it, you can often make it through more strongly. And I said, this was WrestleMania 3. I said, I was watching WrestleMania 3 and I'm reading my notes. I had this great revelation. It's a moment when Hulk Hogan pinned Andre the Giant. And then I realized something. I realized that maybe some of these sporting events may have been well pre-planned. So I use it as an example. I said, it doesn't mean it doesn't hurt. It doesn't mean there isn't pain, but it does mean there's a plan.
Yeah.
And I actually had Terry Tate. He was the rooster guy. Terry Tate, the famous wrestler. He used to go to the church I pastored in Tennessee. What was his name? I'm trying to remember. I should. You would get these random like side comments, but the Red Rooster. So I asked him once. I said, so is that real wrestling? I mean, everyone sort of knows. And he says, it hurts like it's real. And I said,
okay, but it's all it's soap opera. It's soap opera for guys, right?
Yeah, exactly. So you know that you're going to go through difficult times, but God's got a plan. Still hurts, but you're going to make it through the other side. And so that was my illustration.
I could tell. Yeah, I can tell why you'd get emails.
I was so proud of that. Well, what I forgot is that, you know, WrestleMania, I guess now is pretty, you know, WWF is not the clean fun that it was in WrestleMania 3.
I should
have made clear that I was referring to literally WrestleMania 3, which was, I watched, what is that? What year would that be? WrestleMania 3. Because what are they up to? Like, I don't even know where they are now. It's like our podcast. They're at WrestleMania 8000.
Well, everything's just so highly sexualized now, right? So
it is true. Well, WrestleMania 3 was 1987. And I remember I was in college watching, like all of us stayed up and watched WrestleMania. It was so crazy, but not so much the same program.
Well,
anymore.
And now it's called WWE, right? So,
that's right. I'm sorry, because WWF was World Wildlife Fund. Exactly. I don't keep up. Sounds like you keep up, but that's okay.
No, I don't. You know what? Funny story though. Christina and her brother. I mean, I would play
your wife.
My wife. But I would play as a kid. You know, watch all the moves. I would do it. But then Christina and her brother would actually do that as well. And it was just like, you know, he's 5 years older than her, so that resulted in some interesting conversations at school. What is everything okay at home? Yeah, they're just playing exactly. WWF. Oh, okay. Yeah,
exactly. Like I remember hitting my college roommates. This was, you know, my brother before my that time, but hitting my college roommates with these fake chairs that, well, they were real chairs, yes. But we sort of loosened the screws so it looked like it wouldn't. Yeah, it was crazy.
Okay. So, oh my goodness. Like 5 minutes in and just talking about wrestling.
We've got really serious content to cover because I got some complaints to air. I've got some grievances to air.
Okay. So what we're going to do, if you haven't listened to episode 547, don't worry. We don't talk about wrestling for the first 5 minutes. We actually started talking about what it means to be the church in a COVID-19 era. And Ed talked about what it means for us that we're in this, what did you say? Temporarily deficient.
You don't even pay attention. It's like I work so hard and you're busy watching WrestleMania 48 or
Red
something.
Rooster, man, Red Rooster, man.
Red Rooster. I said temporarily deficient ecclesiology in the emergency for the sake of the mission.
Yes. So if you haven't listened to 547, listen because you're going to understand what that means. Yeah. Go. And then at the end of that episode, we talked about the fact that we're going to actually move on to the staffing side of things, but you know, we're going to push that off because there's a lot more to be said regarding what it means to be the church in a COVID-19 era.
Yeah. So, and by the way, 549, this episode is not a prime number. Anyway. All right. So here's the thing. I got more to say. Here's the thing. I got grievances to air, right? I'm actually looking at the levels on my microphone. It's peaking because I'm too excited about this. All right. You can't, if the sum total, you said something in the last episode. I know it's not the last episode because Todd, whatever.
Yeah.
But the episode before Todd and you. You said that we all say the church is not the building. And what I want to say to you is, to everybody, is that if the sum total of your ecclesiology is the church is not the building, you have been unprepared for this moment and you will be unprepared for making an ecclesiological case for regathering and re-engagement when the future comes, depending on where you are and what level you're in right now.
Wow. Okay. Because, okay. Just stop. Okay. Drop the mic.
Okay. Stop.
You got to repeat that because that's just okay. Like, so man.
If the phrase, the church is not the building, is the sum total of your ecclesiological argument in 2020, you came into this pandemic unprepared and you will move into 2021 and regathering unprepared as well. It really is, here's the challenge. And I wrote about this in the first Planting New Churches in a Postmodern Age with a foreword by Leonard Sweet that you blue. Don't even acknowledge
because yeah, you
didn't wear part of that.
I remember, I can imagine it right now. I remember reading it for sure.
The blue book.
Yeah, the blue
the
one.
Blue book. And then the second edition was Planting Missional Churches, yeah, which orange. Then there's a third edition, which you call the second edition, but it's called Planting Missional Churches, second edition, co-authored with the amazing Daniel. Yeah. Exactly. That's right. And it is, they are different colors. It's like a rainbow of church planting colors. So actually I set up my, I'm doing more like TV interviews from my home office. Mm. And so if you look at one next time you're around, you'll actually see I've got Planting Missional Churches just propped up right next to Christians in the Age of Outrage.
Nice.
It's so, you know, everyone's doing it now. Everyone's setting up their Zoom room. It took me like 8 months, but I got it now where my books are out. All right. So in there, and I don't know if it made the second edition because you don't care about ecclesiology, so you might have taken it out. But in there, we talked about this. This is Elmer Towns. I think, I'm not sure if you remember reading this in volume and in edition two. Elmer Towns once said to me that second to leadership failure, the second cause of church plant failures he saw was shifting ecclesiology, where you get a passion for elders and then you don't have a passion for elders or, you know, soul leadership or whatever. It just changes. There's no clarity. And what I would say is that the pandemic has revealed the shallowness. Now, maybe this is, I mean, everyone sort of knows this, right? There are whole books on this about the shallow ecclesiology of evangelicals. So, but here's what we found is that the only answer we had was, well, the church is not the building. Hmm. Well, the church never closed. Those are not adequate answers to this right now. Part of our answer needs to be is that we are deeply grieved that we cannot partake in the Lord's Supper together. This is indeed what God's people have done for 2,000 years. We are deeply grieved that we can't look across the room and see one another and more. And so, you know, when I think about the church that I'm serving in New York, we had a meeting, right at the beginning of November, first time since for them, I'm trying to remember when New York City shut down. Was it like March or February? It was earlier than everybody else because they got hit so hard. Mm-hmm. So to see people walk into this room, a huge, yeah, we had to rent a huge room, like 2,000 seats to get like 150 people in. You know, there were police there, you know, I don't know if they're making sure we're following all the rules, but the rules were intense. Mm. People had to write down their number, their address in case we had to do tracking, yeah. You know, all this sort of stuff. But the joy that was there revealed to people who understood the value of gathering. And what I would say is I get one of the things as a church planner, I always remember early on in the church plant, I would always emphasize the benefits of being small. Well, listen, we're a small church plant. You know, you can be a part of this. It's really awesome. And it was great until we weren't small anymore. And then I literally had to say, hey, you know that stuff I said about being small? That doesn't apply to us anymore. Now we're over 200 or over 3 or 5 or whatever. And what I would say is do not devalue the gathering when you can't gather. Instead, speak of it longingly as if we will think about, you know, Beth Moore tweeted this. You know, I don't know. Beth Moore's tweets got a lot of wisdom in them. Yeah. She tweeted out on Easter Sunday last year, next Easter in church. And I thought to myself, that's a depth of yearning and longing that we need to see. So I think we need to think more about some of these things about ecclesiology. And right now, I would encourage people to be thinking more about gathering, about the Lord's Supper, the Eucharist, about baptism. When and how are we going to value these things at a higher level? How are we going to rejoice at them? But also, too, what about covenant? You know, I mean, one of the things, you know, I mentioned in the last episode that we talked about this, 547, that the reformers talked about the, you know, right or pure administration of the sacraments, preaching of the Word of God, but didn't mention church discipline. You know, that's something we don't talk about as much. But right now, we're going to have to determine who really is in the family of this local church when we start to figure out this stuff. And we have a responsibility to those people, right? That literally in two places, the Bible refers to putting somebody on the list. So who's on the list in the New Testament? It refers to that. Who's on the list that you are making sure doesn't get left behind? Because here's one of the things too, and I'm talking too much, Daniel, but I'm passionate about this. Yeah. I've been having some Red Bull and I got some grievances to air. But you know, one of the things I said, because we're back to online at Calvary in New York City. And one of the things I said to, you know, in the sermon I preached this Sunday is, we get that only 150 people out of a much larger church got to come to, and sometimes because, I mean, there's a whole lot of people who didn't feel comfortable doing that. And we're not, wow, we get it. And sometimes there's not enough space. Mm-hmm. But here's what I would say. Nobody gets left behind. Mm-hmm. There are people on the list, and that's the biblical value of church membership. And right now, this would be a great time to do a series on ecclesiology, including the biblical value of church membership, that nobody gets left behind. We're in touch with you. We're caring for you. We're walking through this with you. I'm done. I'm out of breath, and I was too excited for that answer. No. Anyway. We went from WrestleMania to theological mania.
Hey, that was pretty much like you were the stronger one in the ring. You know, you're the one that's just on a rampage, all red, Hulk and you're just like, yeah, you just like you snapped and you went. No,
I did, and you are Andre the Giant in this. And yeah, I am Hulk Hogan.
I'm just
this,
like,
but Hulk Hogan pinned Andre the Giant.
My jaw is open, and I'm like, what in the world is going on?
No, and here comes someone with a chair. This is the most bizarre episode ever. If we could just bring up Star Trek memes, we'd probably get the rest of this done.
Oh, that's awesome. So. Okay, so how I want to respond to that is brilliant. It's fantastic. Love it. What I do want to add to that, though, is not only from a pastoral perspective of, okay, what are you doing structurally? How are you thinking, you know, as the pastor, how are you thinking ecclesiologically, and what is your ecclesiology? And this is really a reckoning time for you to understand and learn and re-engage. And in regards to that, and a sermon series would be great to journey the church along. But here's the thing. If you're doing that, you do need to understand that, hey, what you are doing either explicitly or implicitly is shaping your congregation's ecclesiology as well. So the interesting thing about online is people are watching it either on their phones, iPads, you know, TVs. And what do we do when we watch the TV? We sit on a couch. What do? When we are watching, it's always passive. Like there's like very, I mean, just now there are some interactive TV shows like You Versus Wild on Netflix with Bear Grylls, and you can kind of make a decision. But even though you're making a decision, you know, it's kind of fake because they filmed every possible scenario out. So when you think about it from that perspective, if you are not intentionally explicitly shaping and teaching your church what it means to be the church, even as we're scattered in this way, they're just going to default to, oh, it's on TV. Oh, it's a TV show. Oh, it's consumeristic. So I'm going to flip on this channel. Well, I don't really like the preaching or the worship, so I'm going to go to that channel, or I'm going to watch this church. I'm going to watch that. And oh yeah, well, so you begin losing that, I get really passionate about this too, Ed, because I'm just like, how is this next generation, the current generation and the next generation of Christians, going to be permanently shaped? And what issues are we going to have to teach and deal with in light of this new mode and how we are, what it means to be the church? So that's why we need to be just, that's why these episodes are so important, why we need to be so intentional at teaching, knowing our ecclesiology, but also teaching and forming our church, both explicitly and implicitly.
Yeah, I think ultimately it's a good time to talk about these things. And here's the thing, you might say, why talk about them when you can't live them out? Because right now, one of the things that's happened with some of these pandemic denying pastors too, is that people have made irresponsible comments or irresponsible decisions, have actually tapped into a right motive and a right need. And the irresponsible comments about there's not being a pandemic, or the actions of, you know, not following mitigation protocols or more, has actually, you know, made it hard for many who've tried to say, no, we're gonna follow more carefully and cautiously the laws, rules, whatever it may be. But what I would say is don't be mad at people who themselves are drawn into that, because there's something in us that calls us to be with one another, to acknowledge that is actually going to help people, not drive them away. And so let's, next Easter in church, right? Let's, I mean, for, you know, my church is gathering now, so I'm not saying that most churches are gathering in some way, but let's value ecclesiology so that people can see why we value it and why we might be pausing, but why ultimately we're going to be back together, and we want to see that kind of fully orbed biblical ecclesiology at work in our churches.
Fantastic. All right. So in two episodes, 551, we will continue this series on what it means to be the church in a COVID-19 era.